right. Well, let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we are so thankful for just every time when I come here on a Sunday, I'm just thankful that you have set the Christian life up to work in community with other people. And even in discussions before class, to run the gamut from lighthearted things to extremely difficult things people are facing, everything in between. And we have a room, people that are very concerned about things and also have joys in the life. Lord, it's just life, but to be lived in a Christian community where we're also very hopeful, and we talk about hopeful things, and we pray, and we share, and we care about each other. And so I just thank you for all of those things. I just want to say how much I appreciate it. We appreciate it, and we want to be faithful in serving each other and in praying. So let that continue. Let it increase. And just be with us today as we again talk about fruit of the Spirit. And may you, what you want us to talk about, come out. And we need your Holy Spirit for that. We know that that is your promise. So we thank you for that and pray you be with us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So did I see cartilages? I'm glad y'all are here. Yeah. You the wedding?
Yeah.
What?
The wedding.
Okay. You feeling okay? Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we've been praying, and I don't mean to just single you out, but I'm glad to see y'all. Yeah. Well, I told everybody, and we were talking about it a few weeks ago, how much y'all show up for other people, and we really appreciated it. So.
Showing up for us.
Well, the way it should be, it's the Holy Spirit. So good to see y'all. So yeah, we're going to be talking. We're ending our quarter on the fruit of the Spirit, which has been great. While we were up at the Cove, Alistair Begg is talking about it. He's releasing a new book in September on the fruit of the Spirit. Could have had his book to use. It's going to be great, I'm sure. I listened to some of his sermons. But Fruit of the Spirit's been a great talk. And so next week is the last summer of the quarter. We are going to have a discussion about the fruit of the Spirit. So be prepared for that. Just let's say a panel discussion, but some discussion about has there been any one characteristic that has challenged you? Just anything that you have about the fruit of the Spirit. It's been way eye-opening, as Jim Carlson says when he teaches. We're going to do a whole quarter on two verses, and you think that's a tough thing to do, but it's just very rich. So it's been very good for me to have to dig in. And today we are going to be talking about the fruit of faithfulness. And so later on in the lesson, I'm going to ask the question, who in your life has been the most faithful person, someone you would describe as a model of faithfulness? I'm going to ask that as the discussion question. And why? What characteristics in their life? So just so you'll be kind of thinking about that. So that's today. A few weeks ago, I think I told y'all about this. I was having that week where I had five or six doctor's appointments. They all just hit. I was going from one to the other. Literally, I was like, oh, great. I can get that test done over there in physicians building two. Unfortunately, Grandview is confusing how to get back to one. But anyway, I was having all these doctor's appointments, and I have two pulmonologists. I don't like to brag. So I was at one of the offices, and these were my people. I was sitting around with a bunch of people my age coughing. Everybody was coughing. So there's kiosks that you walk in. It's like McDonald's, you know, So there you walk in and you put your driver's license in. And so it's a bunch of people, you know, like my age, trying to do the kiosk, you know, and these young girls are sitting over at the window of the doctor's office. And I know they're going, so we're trying. And so I was sitting in the waiting room people and this, I could hear this one lady who finished the kiosk after analyzing it for 30 minutes. And she goes over to the window and they said, well, did you fill your information in online? You know, if you're supposed to. She starts telling them the story. I mean, it took a while to tell the story, but it basically, she was like, well, I got in and then my dog needed to go out. And so when I took the dog out, by the time I got back in, I couldn't get online. So I don't know. And I was thinking, your dog ate your homework? She used to work in the fifth grade. Now it's so, it was just chaos. And so I'm sitting there and there's a lady, a couple of chairs down. Well, she goes, and I'm hoping this wasn't because my face was betraying how much I love being there, but she had her, My Daily Bread. You remember the Daily Bread things? And she was reading it and it was open to start page. She goes, you want to read this? Uh-oh. I said, yes, thank you so much. That was just so nice. And so I was reading it and it was about faithfulness. I don't know if I told you this yet, but it was about faithfulness, which I'm teaching on today. And I knew that was coming up. So I thanked her so much. Took a picture of it. And, but I thought, you know, it's God being faithful to me about faithfulness. It was so great. So, faithfulness is going to be an interesting one to talk about because to me, there's this element of faithfulness is all the fruit, all those characteristics lived over a period of time. Like you don't get faithfulness and exhibit it fast. I mean, maybe good, but it's mostly kind of that sense of a culmination of things. And so, so that's going to be good to talk about. Before we do that, I thought let's at least talk about again some of the basic elements of the fruit of the Spirit, like what that means. It's easy for us to talk about it, like in general, the fruit of the Spirit, but I thought a reminder that these are all characteristics: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. I'm probably missed one, but all of those characteristics, they are all virtues produced by the Holy Spirit. They're produced by the Holy Spirit, but they're also all of them commanded of us. So, you know, I went through and found scriptures about all of them just to make sure that statement was right. Love one another. Love. Rejoice in the Lord always. Lord, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Be kind and compassionate. These are all different verses, as you know. Goodness. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good. Stand firm in the faith, faithfulness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And 1 Peter 4:7, be self-controlled and sober-minded. So this idea you think about, if it's produced by the Spirit, why are we commanded to do it? Why didn't it just automatically flow? I mean, which is it, produced by the Spirit or effort? And of course, the answer is yes, it's both. And so you have to think that through. And some of the books that we were reading have good things to say about that. But this one from Jerry Bridges has been really good. And he says this is specifically, he's using this about faithfulness, but it can be true about any of those. And fill in peace, joy, all those. He says, remember that your working and his working are coexistent. You cannot become a faithful person merely by trying. Okay, I like the way he says this. You cannot become a faithful person merely by trying. There is a divine dimension. But it is also true, you will not become a faithful person without trying. Like that. That's true. So I think of Colossians 1:12 29, it's to this end I labor, struggling so powerfully with his might that works within me. So it's like, Paul, what is it? Is he working in you, or are you doing it? He's doing both. And that's, we know that. We kind of experienced that, but it's a, I think it's good to remember all of these things. We are doing our, we are intentional about those, but we rely on him. He's got to produce it through his spirit. So that's one, that's kind of one big thing is how it's produced. And then what is produced that has kept coming. I kept seeing it in different places, but the metaphor of fruit is meaningful as we live it. Because I was thinking it could be, he could have used the metaphor of bricks, you know, line up bricks in a certain way. So to think about fruit in our life, there's an element, of course, of it being living. It's living. It grows, but it takes time. So, you know, there's so much frustration with these characteristics in my life, unbelievable frustration, about how I slip in one or the other often. So the time that it takes, the growth, it nourishes others. So when we are following Christ and this fruit is being produced, we can nourish others around us. And we almost can't if we're not growing the fruit. So I really like that. There is a beauty to fruit. Fruit trees, just the fruit that we see, there's a beauty to it. I like what Alistair Begg has said, is that fruit of the Spirit is not like ornaments on a Christmas tree. It's not artificial. It's not added just without organic life. It is a product of life. It shows that there is life in the organism. So that's a good illustration to me. And he says this about the beauty of it. Does my character make the gospel attractive so that people wish that it was actually, wish that they believed it? So is my character attractive so much that people wish they believed it? That is a thought-provoking way to say it. But, you know, people, through the Spirit evident in their lives, when we think, we're going to think and talk about people maybe in your life, there's an attractiveness to it because love, joy, peace, patience. I mean, who doesn't want to be around that? So that kind of big picture, fruit of the Spirit. And then today, specifically faithfulness, we're going to talk about what faithfulness looks like in us, in human lives, and of course, faithfulness of God, which it mirrors, and responds to. But, so there, back to this question of who is the most faithful person you have ever known and why do you consider them that? This is where I wish I had Bill. Can you get an overhead projector? Because I liked we have those at Trailblazers. I used to write characteristics, but I'm going to try to keep up with them. But so anybody who's the most faithful person that you know and why? Yes, Becky Richburg, Frank Barker. Yeah. Yeah. So y'all can't hear Frank Barker because he walked his faith. He was honest, not fancy. Yeah, that's a good one. Others. Yes. Cheers.
Well, God has been so good for my life, but
Thank you. That is so sweet. Yeah. And that's an interesting character. So I've been there for you, even in the hard times, even when it was sacrificial. Others. Yes, Reed.
My mother was an incredible Christian person. She always gave to people if they got married or had a funeral or a child, you know, gave gifts. But just totally dedicated to the church. When she died, the preacher says, if there was a mentor that was in my life, it was this woman here.
Wow. Wow.
And she was nobody, she'd never be nobody negatively in any way. When her house was robbed one time, she says, well, I'm sure the people did it or they wouldn't have did it.
Wow. Wow.
It's not true, of course.
A good one. But you didn't.
Well, they had gotten caught for doing this more than once.
So. Right.
But she was wonderful.
Yeah.
She just, you know, just had an attitude that was not negative towards nobody.
Right.
That's hard to find.
That's awesome. Were you right there?
Yeah.
Anybody else? All right, John Haynes.
Well, I don't have to say this. I really don't, but it's just a fact. That's my wife, Jenny. You know, in the ministry, and I'm not just being nice.
Right.
You didn't as long as you have. There's times you look in the mirror as pastor, and you know, all you've got is you, the Holy Spirit, and your spouse. All you've got. And one night, about 20 years ago, it was a really, really hard night. 1 a.m., and I had stood alone on matters of righteousness. But even when you do that sometimes, you're questioning yourself when most are against you. And I was sitting at the edge of the bed at 1 in the morning, and I just remember looking at Jenny, and I said, how do you know that I am right? And she was incredulous, and she looked at me and said, because I know you. And then she went to sleep.
That may have been the best vote of confidence.
My death, I would be unemployable in Christ's church without my death friend, the Holy Spirit.
So her trust in you, because she knew you, trying to think of the how to describe that characteristic. We all get what it is.
I really don't know.
Yeah. But the fact she's put her trust in you is no doubt. And had peace about things.
Well, I guess, you know, when you get a ministry bond with it, I've seen many spouses over time stand up for unrighteousness in their spouses just because takes two to tango sometimes, even in unrighteousness. And Jenny knew the cost. By that time,
I see what you're talking
about.
Right.
It's going to end up being the move. Kids are going to move. She's going to move. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she really believed God. That's what's in the root of her far greater faithfulness.
Yeah. That's
her idea of employment. You can hire her for CCA.
Definitely believe all of that. I can see that from her. Somebody else said it's right here. Anybody? Yes, Leela.
I think all of these are great, kind of different take on it. So it's the faithfulness I've watched my parents finish well.
Wow.
Faithful in
right.
their walk.
Right.
And they had significant help out there.
Yeah.
They had long goodbyes that were hard and challenging, and I watched in both of them their faith and walk with the Lord was steady and didn't waver on the tender. At this stage of life, finishing well is a
achievement.
So many
Harry used to talk about that, the small percentage even in scripture that finish well, and that seemed really academic until you begin to go to the doctor every other
Well, and life just gets hard.
It gets harder.
The kids don't turn out.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You're 30, everything's possible. Everything's going
right.
to be ahead of you. And then you get on this side of things and, well, this is how it turned out.
This is how it turned out, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good one. Yeah. Stay. Yeah.
Not really
right. That's a great. You're like, wait. No. We understand. Right. Realities. Yeah. Oh. Right. And stay. Not leaving the faith. Your parents were at church and they did all the things. And that is a really good one. Others, we all have different.
My mom, and I'm one of seven kids, and crazy household. My dad is a pastor. Retired. I'm the fifth. Retired when I was six. But every morning, my mom would have, get her time with the Lord, and then she made breakfast and pot. And it was this elaborate breakfast, because we couldn't afford to go out at any time. So, and then, she would sing hymns she did it, and, just hearing her start.
Yeah.
But then, what's so special is she was a teacher. First of all, a pharmacist and then a teacher, and she did taught learning disabilities, and the school where she was, she had the Bible on her desk, which now I don't know that she could do that. She was allowed to have 14 students, but she ended up having 21 because everybody wanted her. And that's individual lesson plan for all of them. And then she would come home, make a great meal for all of us. And she was just consistent, just faithful and just loving. And, she got uterine cancer and she died at 64, but, all my family was staying. I think I've told some people this, but all my family was around her and we were all praying for a miracle and, just standing back, watching everything, and she just said, just with the biggest smile, I have seven wonderful children. I have 17 beautiful grandchildren. I'm ready to see my Jesus. And that is a miracle.
That's truly faithful. It's a hardship. She was going through. She was a sweet lady, treated me fantastic, gave me her favorite daughter. All right, others. Is there somebody right back here? Yeah, others, so many. Yes, Marjorie. Okay. All right. I'll come back to you, Marjorie. Let me go get.
I think of, I've been looking all over for the phone calls and I'm and Cindy, I've watched them with Bingham, them, and the two people voting. Bingham was on the way to the board.
Yep.
And sending and watching them be faithful to the God that they serve. And, just showing up and Jim, look at Jim walking with children.
Oh, yeah.
So the grandchildren, the children, and Cindy just inquire and just seeing them.
Beginning to
follow the Lord. Right. Beginning to
love
the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That is so good. Marjorie, you have?
I met a family. Her name is
and Cindy come out from 1976 to now we're 2020. And she always has the Bible in mind, reading the Bible. Everywhere she goes out, the way that we are doing, we share the gospel with big, like people can share. She will share the gospel with them. And she doesn't see how they look. Like they may have tattoo all over the body, and she gives them respect and talk to them. And she always says, ready to share the gospel with anyone to do that. And she is still our best friend because I know that when we have any problem, we can always talk to her and she will pray for us. And she's still praying for us. For us and us.
Wow. And that's 50 years.
I bought one and you didn't message.
Yeah.
70,
yeah, that's amazing. That's really amazing. And that time frame counts so much. Yes, Kathy?
I think of you and Judy, Sam and Beth, and Peggy and Tim, and just how faithful y'all have been in service and ministering to us as a class. So diligent.
Thank you for saying that. We love it. We love it. So thanks for saying that. Is anybody else over here? Hillary?
A follow up. Another thing about my mom, she was born in 1913.
Right.
And, 1913. Anyway, she lived 98.
Wow.
But when she was born, she weighed 2.5 pounds.
Wow.
And she was allowed to, God let her live.
Yeah.
And I believe he let her live for a purpose.
Yeah.
And all her life, she was, you know, something special in his eyes because she never went off track of what she believed in.
Yeah. That was really rare to survive at that state of 1913 or 19. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Melody.
So I had a mentor in, she's real close to Ron, who's a barber shop. Just seeing her faithfulness and always teaching, and even in the midst of breast cancer, she still taught women up here at the church when they moved up to Ohio, and she had lung cancer, continuing to teach. And I knew that when she could teach no longer, that God would take her home. And so she quit teaching and God took her home. But she taught up until that.
Yeah.
Had people in her home while she was in a hospital bed, still
ministering.
And just that faithfulness that she shows me.
And you still remembered it, in fact, you did. Yeah. So let me kind of go through then. Those were great, and I appreciate so much. I was hearing a lot of the elements of that were just service, like she was still teaching or, you know, praying for people, serving, sharing the gospel, praying for friends. Their walk with the Lord remained obvious, finishing well. A lot of had challenges. You know, a lot of them came into all these stories, like during hard times, just being present for people, giving gifts to others, positive, walked their faith. So that's what I was thinking, like this, describing faithfulness, how it should look in our lives. Those are great snapshots of it. And I was thinking, okay, another one I had written down there. I was thinking a lot of times you'll attach it to, sometimes it's explicit promises like marriage vows. You're faithful to your vows. Sometimes it's not even explicit. It's like, you know, you have a duty to your church, your family. So fulfilling promises is a big faithful thing. It's like faithful to what? To your word. So as I was just trying to think, okay, how do we kind of talk this? Okay, how to be like that? A lot of it's just self-explanatory, but, so I would say, making a list that I was doing, you know, who doesn't want to hear at the end of your life, well done, good and faithful servant. It's something you really want to I was thinking, so in my, my high school, you know, you have, what do they call them? Superlatives, most whatever. Like my daughter Jenny got wittiest. And I said, Jenny, that's awesome. She's like, yeah, but that's just because they didn't have a category for hottest. It's Jenny showing that she's witty. But mine was, like y'all can guess, like it was best looking, most athletic. Brian's going, mine was, I don't believe I even had this category, most dependable. I mean, I was telling you, like, it's better than least dependable, but it's not exactly the, you know, most attractive quality, most dependable. But lame, that's what I'd say about that. That's lame. High school kids want more than. Anyway, they were like, we got to give him something. So, anyway, people want, you want to be at the end of your life, well done, my good and faithful servant. So the how to's, so I just was thinking through this and, I was listening to a Jill Briscoe, Judy and I were listening to this about her life prayer and stuff, but she calls it the hidden life. She says it starts with the hidden life, faithful in time with God. And, Romans 12:12 is one that says to be faithful in prayer. And we were both talking about how challenged we are. Like a lot of these people that we've talked about, you either know or you assume very faithful in prayer. That can guide you in so many ways. So, the hidden life, I like that. The hidden life, the faithful in time with God. I put the will and determination to obey what you read and hear from God's word. So time in his word and then just that willingness to do the hard things or easy things, the good things that you hear from God's word. Here's one I liked. I ran across this in a devotional book, this perspective, but I think one thing that those lives would reflect was a future focus. So even taking a job that you don't like now because of the future, it's a hard thing to do. And some people just like, I'm not doing it, but I don't enjoy it, but a future focus. And I like the way one writer said, it's a little simplistic, but I like this. Only 2 days matter. Only 2 days matter. Today and judgment day. So your focus on judgment day, I mean, today matters because that's when you're going to make the decisions about being faithful or not. But with an eye towards how you want your life to end up, that changes a ton of things. How many people do we see fall? We're all going to fall in ways. I'm not talking about that, but these big public falls that they're thinking about current and not the future. Another thing I ran across thinking about that, like the temptations to not be faithful. This person recommended the 10-10-10 rule. What will this action that you're being tempted to do feel like in 10 minutes, 10 months, or 10 years? That's a good thing to run through. All of those things then make you, this future focus will help in making sacrifices to obey and serve others, even when it's costly. So many of these stories and all the people we're thinking about that we didn't mention. These are people who did it when it was costly. That is faithfulness for sure. And there's all the other elements in your life that make you, like I'm thinking, who are you friends with? Your friends can either lead to faithfulness or the exact opposite. So let me end up with this. God's faithfulness, isn't that an attractive quality to God, is faithfulness? We sang, Great Is Thy Faithfulness last week with 400 people that were in this Alistair Begg conference and people from all different states. And, but boy, when that hymn came up, everybody sang. It was loud and it sounded like heaven. Oh, good Lord, I'm singing and doing, and great is thy faithful. And I was thinking so much about, this whole idea that he's the same today, tomorrow, forever. That is so attractive, and we need it so bad because we're going to mess up. And he is there to show us it. And he's there in love. So the fact that he's there, but if he's brooding and he's going to get you, it's not necessarily, but the attractiveness. So in scripture, all the time you're running into the steadfast love and faithfulness together. I can't find an exact number because it varies by version, but the SV says 25 to 30 times God's faithfulness and steadfast love appear together. Psalm 89 has a bunch of faithfulness. Psalm 89. I mean, Psalms are full of all the faithfulness passages. Okay. But I love some of these. Yeah. Psalm 89, 1 and 2. I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. So there's the thing we're declaring to others through our next generations, whoever you're around that are next generations, his faithfulness, great one to talk about, especially from the perspective of having been around a while. More in 89, verse 8, you are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Psalm 89, 33 and 34. So right above that, he's talking about people forsaking his law. And then he says, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging, but I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. I love that. That element of God, Psalm 145, 13, I think it is. Yeah, it's kind of some summary of it. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. So this element of his covenant, you know, we were taking Scott's, Wednesday night class on the covenant, and it's deeper, so much deeper than I thought. It's all about his promises, his promises. He's faithful to his promises, and we should do that. For some reason, that reminded me, fulfilling promises is such a key thing. I have a friend who's, I've talked about her before. She's a Boston friend, and she was going on one day about her marriage, and she was like, she was so mad at Joe, and she goes, I know I took the vow that I'll be with him from bad to worse. And I was like, it's not from bad, it's for better or for worse. Like, there can be better. Like, yeah, I mean, from bad to worse, that probably showed you what was going on. But for better or for worse, but you know, the vows and just fulfilling what you say and what you believe. So y'all, thank you for the examples. Reminder next week, have discussions, points ready, argue with Jim Carlson about what he taught, because you know, we have to watch Jim. But he's giving me the eye. Thank you. This isn't a courtroom. But that's So that's what we're going to be doing next week. And I wanted to close. I had, my mom, y'all knew her. I could do lots on her faithfulness. She died at 95 and was sharing Christ in the hospital room. 95, so it's a faithful. But, you know, it's like, you know, all the sports guys that are like, hey, mom. And it's like, did somebody say hey to dad? You know, dad was there. So I thought about the faithfulness of my dad. And so this is his Bible. King James Version, the only real Bible, he would say. And, I was just digging through some of the stuff in here. And this is so classic. There's so many people, David Battle, so many people in here knew dad, but this is for him. He goes, faith is a response to God's revelation. Faith is not fancy. I don't know if you heard that or you just, but that's a good thing, actually. Faith is not fancy. It's just doing what you say. It's showing up. So when he died in 1999 at age 74 and sudden heart attack. So going through his stuff, I could not find it. It's in my house, but he had a little not fancy day planner, and it was City Federal or something where he had worked. And so he had all these appointments. So the week he died, so he died like on a Tuesday, but he had appointments that whole week. And it was Jim Holland is on Zoom, but it was, he was meeting with young guys, and it was to talk to them about their, listen to them about their life. David, there's a lot of people that, so he had Jim Holland on there, Bill Kreese, Forrest Anglin, y'all probably knew Forrest, some of you. But there's tons of people in here that knew him. And I thought, you know, that verse that blessed is the person who is found to be about his master's business. So when Jesus came for dad, he was about that business. He probably was like, I can't die. I've got appointments. But I loved that. And that is certainly a challenge to me and what I want to be. All right. Anything else? And we'll close before the chairs next door. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we need you for all of these qualities. We might produce it a little bit, but we can't sustain it, the things that you would have us do. So we pray that we would be relying on your power, so that we would be found faithful. Lord, have this be a group who are found faithful, serving those who need us, regardless of the sacrifice. Easy to say, hard to do. You're doing it. Lord, give us that, orientation and motivation. Thank you for the way we're uplifted to do that by being in a group of people who are committed to that. So thank you for all of this, and I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.